The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe in me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. God, you have promised that you will abide with us, not just at the end of all things when we are in your presence fully, but even now in the in-between times. Be with us during this time. Help us to be aware of your presence with us. Help us to open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to see you now in this place. Amen. The Franciscan contemplative, Richard Rohr, recently wrote, "Liminal space is where we are betwixt and between, having left one room or stage of life, but not yet entered the next. We usually enter liminal space when our former way of being is challenged or changed. Perhaps when we lose a job or a loved one, during illness, at the birth of a child, or a major relocation. It is a graced time, but often does not feel graced in any way. In such space, we are not certain or in control." This word that Rohr uses, liminal, comes from the Latin word limen, a word for the stone that was laid at the entrance to a building at the base of the door frame. The threshold. If you were to stand in that spot, you're not exactly in the house, but you're not exactly out of it. Liminal spaces are threshold spaces, in between spaces, where what has been is gone, but what will be has not yet happened, or may not ever be clear. Liminal space can be uncomfortable, disorienting, as the familiarity of what we have known is gone. Sometimes we long to go back to what was, other times we long to be already at the new thing. Much of the Hebrew Bible is comprised of liminal spaces. The 40 years in the wilderness, time figuring out how to be the people of God in the promised land, exile, and return. And these stories often include longing or pleading for things to go back to the way that they were. Liminal spaces are inherently challenging. In them, we find ourselves squarely in between the familiar we have known and the future we cannot yet grasp. Our natural inclination in these times is to want to be anywhere but there. The Israelites who wandered in the wilderness preferred to go back to their slavery in Egypt over the liminal wilderness. In liminal spaces, we often find ourselves bouncing between wanting things to go back or wanting things to be sorted out or over in the new reality already. Jesus speaks of a liminal reality in the gospel this morning, about going ahead to prepare a place for us, and Thomas, dear old Thomas, doesn't do well with the uncertainty of this promise. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? He wants to be sure that there is a direct path from A to B, no uncertain time in the middle. What he doesn't know, of course, is that these words that Jesus speaks are the beginning of a farewell discourse, an extended goodbye, a preparation for the time that is already beginning when everything will change. The close fellowship with Jesus that they have known will soon come to an end, and something new will happen. They will be transformed from disciples to apostles. They will create together something we now know as the church. And so much change will happen along the way. So many losses that will be necessary for this new thing to come into being. But Thomas can't even begin to grasp this. So when Jesus talks about a dwelling place, he wants a detailed map of how to get there. Quick trip, fast track, no time wasted in between. We tend to like Thomas's understanding of these words too, which is why this passage is so often read at funerals. We like thinking of the many dwelling places or mansions, as the King James Version translated it, that await us as soon as we die, ones that maybe Jesus has gone ahead to decorate and where we'll find our loved ones on the other side. The problem, though, is that Jesus was never talking about a physical place. He's not telling us about a point B that we will get to as soon as our time here in point A is done. The Greek word he uses is really best translated not as mansion or dwelling place, but as abode. Now, this may seem like a subtle distinction, but it's a significant one given that the primary way that Jesus talks about our relationship with God in John's gospel is to abide with God. Jesus is going out ahead, making preparations so that we can abide with God now and for all eternity. This is not a final place, a point B, when all is said and done and we're on the other side. It's about the liminal space, the in-between, and how we dwell with God here in the midst of the in-between. It's about where we are now, about being with God wherever we are, which most of the time is in-between. The church has struggled with this throughout her history. This earthly life was disparaged,
something only to be endured, all with the hope of one day getting into heaven. There's more than a little point A to point B thinking in our past. But the witness of the mystics throughout the ages, those who experienced the presence of God in the here and now, always called the church to realize that there is something to be learned in the liminal space of this life. Abiding with God is not just something that we will do one day, but something that we can do here, now, in the middle of everything, while we wait. Our modern church has been in liminal space for several decades, with varying degrees of willingness to acknowledge this fact. We've had to figure out how to cope with the loss of the comforts of Christendom we once enjoyed. Power and prestige in society, full churches and Sunday schools because culture said you had to come. Some of us want to go back to the way things were. Some of us want to throw everything out and be in that new thing already, but the last thing we want is to be in between. And then there's now. Only a handful of weeks ago, we had never heard of COVID-19. And yet here we are, our lives, our church forever changed. We long to know when this will all be over, when we can go back to the way things were. Wasn't it just going to be a 2-week thing? Or maybe a month? What seemed to be certain and fixed is now long and drawn out, and we have no idea what awaits us on the other side or when we will ever be there. When will we be allowed to gather in person again? What's becoming clearer and clearer, though, is that this crisis isn't going to be wrapped up anytime soon. What is certain is that we will not just return to the way things were. Things will be different. We will be changed. This is liminal space, if I've ever seen it, and one we are forced to dwell with in an entirely new way, because we can't simply distract ourselves out of it. We hear from Jesus this morning that in our dwelling, we can abide with God, and that our time of waiting is not wasted, because liminal space is not empty space. The people who escaped Egypt forged their identity as God's people, as the people of Israel in the wilderness. In their liminal space, they learned who they were, what mattered to them. They created patterns of living that would carry into life on the other side, even though life would be different. Liminal space is creative space. When you are able to let go of what was, no longer cling to your understanding of the way things have to be, not only focused on the way things will turn out, you can live into the joy that liminal space might have to offer. There are questions we can ask here together. What are we willing to try in this new reality? What are we ready to leave behind? What must be carried into what will be? How do we understand ourselves and what matters to us more deeply? There is no denying that grief and fear are emotions inherent to liminal space. Grief over what has been, fear over what's to come. Jesus, our incarnate God, who spent some liminal time on this earth himself, knows this to be true, which is why his discourse begins with the gentle words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." These are words of trust and assurance for what he knows will be a long and difficult period of liminality. Yet in his invitation to abide with God in that time, in this time, in all the time that is in the meantime and between times, our assurance is this. The presence of God is a certainty when everything is uncertain. It doesn't mean that we have to like this liminal space. It certainly isn't something we wished for, but we're here. And God is here with us, right in our midst. My prayer is that this fact can help us embrace the uncertainty of this time in a new way, trusting that there are ways that we are growing, being transformed during this time, and that even now among us, a future is dawning. We may not be able to see it or imagine it, but it's happening. We can't rush through this part, but that's okay. God is here. And together, with each other and with God, we will journey together toward whatever lies ahead. Amen.